Makes me feel good. Tegan is back here losing it, apparently, because of the fact that I almost fell and hurt myself. Okay. To be fair, it would have been really funny if I had fallen and had to have gone to the emergency room. How was church today? Our pastor had to leave in the middle of it to go to the emergency room. I hope if that were to happen, you guys would be like, he was on fire when he was preaching. Thanks. You have to earn it, man. Yeah, especially when Fonda's like, sure. Gonna have to earn it. Wow. So if you would, guys and girls, we are back on the gospel according to Luke. So as you know, we go through one book of the Bible typically at a time. We are in the 8th chapter now. This is the 25th. Fifth week of this. Hopefully this has felt a little different than last time we did a book for so long, because we've broken it up, and I will actually break it up again probably in another 5 weeks. We'll break it up for a little bit, but we're going to make it all the way through the gospel, and I would encourage you to be reading it. I feel like I say this pretty regularly, but guys, you need to read the Bible. It's just great. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. One, take the Tapestry Bibles. The great thing about that is we're about to need to buy new Bibles. Connor or Fonda? Somebody mentioned that we're low on Bibles. Fonda, there we go. That's a great thing. I love when we have to buy new Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible, take one of those. If you can't read them, because I know the print's really small, which is why I'm not buying the same version, but not the same Bible, because that print's really small for some of us with younger or older eyes. Talk to me, okay? I want you to have your own Bible. I want you to have a Bible you can write in. But we're going to read through the 8th chapter, verses 16 through 21. And this is kind of a last time you were in the book of, or the Gospel of Luke sermon, because this connects with what we spoke about last time. So here's what the Word of the Lord says. It says, Connor, quit trying to scare the kids. Actually, that's not what the Word of the Lord says, but I think Jesus would have said that if he was in the room, because you're kind of freaking me out because I can see it. This is what the Word of the Lord says. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. Jesus, replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now guys, I need to confess something to you. I may have mentioned this before, and I do get it honestly. I get it genetically. My mother is quite possibly one of the world's best stalkers. There's a really good chance that my mother has looked up information about you guys, okay? If you have ever posted, Bethany is shaking her head, has my mother interacted with you in some way? Yeah, okay. That is my mom. I love my mom, okay? But she's like a world-class stalker. If you've ever interacted with me on Facebook or on my blog or anything else, my mother is gone, well, I wonder who that Bethany lady is. I'm going to look her. She seems nice. I'm glad Robert's friends. Hey, my mom just stalks people down, okay? There have been random occurrences where we have gotten a message from her and said, hey, did you see this photo of Adam? It's like, no, we didn't see this. Because she's stalking the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. And anytime a photo of our kids pop up, she's looked through all 11,000 students and found the photos. I get it genetically, okay? So what I'm about to confess, it is a genetic thing that I still have a choice of choosing, but I don't choose to fight it. I like to eavesdrop a lot. So when I go to coffee shops, I am probably, while I'm studying, listening to the conversations going on around me. And specifically, Friday, I'm not going to share somebody's conversation here. I share that for my own enjoyment, okay? No, I'm not going to share somebody's conversation here. But Friday, at the third coffee shop I'd visited, because I visit a lot of coffee shops, there was a conversation going on. And what the conversation was about doesn't matter. It was how the conversation was happening. These were two people that were obviously friends for a long time and enjoyed each other's company. But one of them spoke 90 to nothing. Just going at it. And the other one, apparently Naomi knows this person, the other one goes, uh-huh. Really? You don't say. Just going at it. And I think you're smiling because maybe you've known people like this. This was my experience with my grandmother. My grandmother just loved to speak, just loved the action of speaking. When I would go and visit her house, she would begin to tell me about all of her neighbors, people I had never met in my life. My grandmother lived in a city that was 100 miles away from me, and I knew gossip about all of her neighbors because she would just go on. Now, in the South, quite often the grandmother name, there's some wonderful Polish and German and Norwegian names for grandparents here. I never can remember. What are some of the grandparent names around here?
Oma
and Opa. That's Norwegian, isn't it? Is it German? Those are the ones I was thinking of. Down south, quite often, your grandmother and grandfather will be a mawmaw and a pawpaw. So my mawmaw, which sounds, don't mess with my mawmaw. She can outcook anybody in the room except for my wife. Okay, guys, I knew things about my mawmaw's neighbors, people she went to high school with. And everybody in my family developed this strategy of when Ruth Ezel was talking, you would go, uh-huh, yeah, you don't say. We listened without ever really listening. We heard without ever actually having a conversation with her. And I don't mean to sound like we were cruel to her. It really worked for her. She really did just enjoy this, because otherwise she would just dominate everything. And she would go on and on and on. And like Pam experienced it the first time she was there when we told her. It was like, just so you know, get ready to just kind of go, uh-huh, uh-huh. And it was overwhelming when you just really tried to just be focused on it, because you were like, I have not the slightest idea which neighbor we're talking about now, and you've been speaking for 40 minutes. Guess there are ways we listen that aren't really listening. And this passage we just read is dealing with how we listen. Specifically, in the middle of the passage we just read, it says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. We need to consider, how are we listening to Jesus? How are we listening to the Spirit? How are we listening to the Word of God? Because it matters. It's important. Now, one of the best words in all of Scripture is always therefore. It does this wonderful thing of saying, what I'm about to say is influenced by what I said beforehand. And there were two things specifically that are said beforehand that this therefore is focusing on. One is, he tells the story and he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar or under a bed. And this is not a bed like you or I would have. This is a bed, like if you've ever been camping, think of a roll-up mat. This is a mat that would have been stored elsewhere when it was not in use, because typically in an ancient Near Eastern house, you had a room. You may have had a couple of rooms, but one would not be specifically a bedroom. All of the rooms would have been used for bedrooms when you were sleeping and such. So this mat would be rolled up and put aside. So both of these things are things that would extinguish the flame. Now, if you lit a lamp, and I'll show you a picture of a lamp here in just a little bit, but if you lit a lamp beforehand and you put it under a clay jar, it's going to extinguish the flame because there's not going to be any oxygen. Pretty good chance, truthfully, that also the pot is going to hit the flame and just put it out that way. And if you put it under this mat, it's going to extinguish the flame because it's a rolled up bundle at that point. You don't light a lamp to then just put it under something else that's not only going to hide it, but it's also going to extinguish it. But there's another thing this therefore is pointing to. You probably don't remember this because this was 8 weeks ago, but maybe you do. The last message we talked about from the Gospel of Luke was about four different soils. He described the Word of God being spread like seed. And he said there were four soils that it could land on. The first one was a rocky path, was a path that was hard, and there was no way the seed was ever going to make it into the dirt there at all, because the path was hard packed. And what he said was that the seed is thrown there, but then Satan comes and just takes it away. The next one was a rocky path where the seed could make it in between the rocks into the soil, but it'll never be able to actually grow roots, so it won't sustain. So somebody hears the Word of God and goes, that's fascinating, but it never actually just grows into their life to change them. And the other one was a thorny area of soil where the seeds land there, but they're choked out by all of the weeds that are around it. And then the last soil was good soil that was tilled up, that was ready, and the seeds thrown into it, and then suddenly it grows and it multiplies. And if you remember, we talked about, Jesus was basically saying, you don't get to choose a lot of things, but you do get to choose what type of soil you will be. Work in your life to make sure that your fallow ground is broken up, to make sure that that hard path is destroyed, so that when you hear the Word of God, it lands in your life and you are ready to receive it. See, this therefore that we talked about, it's pointing, whoops, there we go. It's pointing back to these two things, to a lamp and to soil, because how we listen is so incredibly important. We don't get to control a lot of things in our lives. But we do get to control where we direct our attention. And the reality is, there are a lot of times where we listen to God a lot like I listened to my mama. A lot like this friend was listening to this other friend. We let God's Word flow over us, but never actually come into us. And Jesus looks at the people that are around him and he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. One of the things that always crushed me when I was a youth minister was anytime I got the chance to preach in big church, you got to put the quotes there because that's what I always was. After I preached, people would come up to me and go, you know, I'm just really glad you preached. It was so good for the youth to be able to hear that. Because for some reason, we tend to think you come to know Jesus at a young age, and you mature for a little while, and then you've got it all figured out. And 80 and 90-year-olds that would talk about that, and they wouldn't be challenged by the Word of God. They wouldn't be challenged by Jesus. The reality is, the closer we get to Jesus as our life goes on, we should be more challenged as we get older in the faith than we were when we initially became a believer in Jesus. When you first say, Jesus is my Lord, it's a real easy thing because you're going, Lord, take over my life. And that's great, but you don't have any earthly idea what it means for him to take over your life. Some of us in the room have considered what it means to have to buy a mortgage as a follower of Jesus. That's not something you consider when you're 8, 9. What does it mean for me to have a job and to be a follower of Jesus? How do I follow Jesus in the job I am in right now? I don't know about you, but when I was in elementary school, well, in my case, I wasn't a Christian then. So when I was in high school, I wasn't considering, you know, my job. How do I follow Jesus here? I was thinking, well, Jesus wants me not to do this and not to do this, and I need to share the faith here, and I need to love this person. But you know, life gets more complicated the older we get. How do we listen to Jesus? I think this lamp, it gives us a really good indication. Now, this is what the lamp that Jesus is referencing to, it would have looked similar to this. There are a lot of different varieties of it. It's an olive oil lamp. It's very simple, actually. This right here is a container, and you just pour olive oil into it. And then there's a wick right here, and you'd light this wick. If you've ever used a modern day oil-based camp light, it's very similar, okay? That the oil is pulled up through the wick. The wick is burned just a little bit, but primarily what's happening is the oil is being pulled through and the oil is being burned. And then you just fill it up again. And you'll see some ornate versions, like this is an ornate version. There's some that are just fascinating. There's one, if I could have found a bigger image of it, I would have put it up there. It looks like a foot in a sandal with like something stuck in its toe that comes out where the wick is. And then you know, back here is the hole, and you fill that up and you can hold it. It's just fascinating. Some of them are very simple. Imagine a bowl about this size that somebody, when they were making it, pinched that. Very, very simple. Also incredibly effective. This lamp is meant to be displayed. It is meant to be out in the open. That is what a light is for. Jesus is saying, nobody lights a lamp and then covers it up, because the purpose of a light is to make other things visible. We have all sorts of lights for this. If this had been planned, I would have had a photo of it. It wasn't planned. We had some batteries that were out on the little music stand thing that Eric uses. And Eric pulls out a little flashlight that he carries with him, and he clips it onto this. He has that light for various things. I have a special deer lamp, because apparently deer cannot see the color green. I don't know. It's what I was sold to me. Okay, Eric. No, it was off the internet. They don't lie on the internet. Okay. guys, we have all sorts of different lamps. They're to make other things visible. Think about it, how stupid it would be if somebody just lit a lamp and then said, okay, it's so nice that you're here, and now they covered it up. The purpose of a lamp is that it is meant to be put out in the open. The purpose of hearing Jesus, the purpose of reading the Word of God, the purpose of praying and having the Holy Spirit be a part of your life is for us to be changed. That is what is meant to happen. Scripture can be wonderfully poetic. It can be amazing stories. There are things, I've talked with some of you guys about one of my favorite stories about Ehud and Eglon. I just love this fascinating story. But Scripture is not about entertainment. Scripture is not about poetry. It's not about literature. Scripture is about us being changed. We need to consider carefully how we listen. And I think the first thing we need to do is we need to listen as people who expect to be changed. In James, when you read the letter of James, he makes this passage. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. When we just listen to God's word, when we don't expect him to change our lives, we are literally deceiving ourselves. We are lying to ourselves about what we're doing. I'm going to spend time reading the Word because I want to follow Jesus. But if I don't expect to be changed by it, if I don't expect to be challenged to do more, I have lied to myself about the purpose of the book I am reading. We do that so much. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And don't hear me say, when I say we read Scripture to be changed, to become more like Jesus, that is not always, I need to do more. Quite often it is, I need to receive more. Jesus says you are forgiven. He says if you are a follower of His, you are a recipient of His grace. I deal with people all the time who go, I just can't be forgiven of this. No, that is a lie. You can be. You are good enough. You are worthy of His love, not because you deserve it, but because He declares you to be worthy. He says, this is a child of mine. When we say we're not, we've deceived ourselves. We need to consider carefully how we listen to receive His grace, to receive His forgiveness, but also to receive His challenge. Do not merely listen. So the first thing I think we need to consider on that is that when we consider how we listen, we need to remember that we need to listen as people who expect to be changed by the presence of God. Søren Kierkegaard, who I just love because, one, he was a devout Christian. He's dead now. Now he's in the presence of God. I don't know what we call people who are in the presence of God. I'm just going to say Christians at that point, but I would just say we're there. But he's also just this famous philosopher, and he has this wonderful statement. That's why it's different. I'm sorry. You know, when you said the internet was there, I had added some photos. So we'll come back to that scripture in just a second. Søren Kierkegaard has this wonderful quote regarding reading scripture. And he says the following. When you read God's word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it's talking to me. It's talking about me. The danger so often is that we read God's word and we think that's great advice for someone else. We think that's great challenge for someone else. Oh, so-and-so needs to hear this about the grace of God. We need to hear this about the grace of God. How do we listen? Well, first we listen as people who expect to be confronted and changed by the one we listen to. It's an enjoyable conversation when we talk to Jesus, but it is not just an enjoyable conversation. This is not mere chit-chat with friends about the weather, and think of how many conversations you've had this past week about the weather. This is enjoyable conversation that hits the meat of the issue. My family and I were talking around the dinner table this weekend, and Adam brought up a podcast he was listening to, and the person was like, you know, we don't talk about the deep things, and she's right, we don't. But you talk about the deep things with a person you trust. If you say your best friend and you never talk about anything of depth, I would wonder about your friendship. And I don't mean by that every conversation you have is the most deep. I love you guys, okay? We talk nonsense a lot of times. I started rapping in the middle of one, well, I don't know if you'd call that rap. I tried rapping in the middle of one of the songs today. It's stupid stuff. A lot of our friendship conversations are that type of stuff. But when my friends talk to me about something important, I listen. Because I trust that Fonda is going to say something true to me when she says, Robert, I think you need to hear this. We need to consider how we listen, and one of the ways we need to listen is we need to listen to somebody who expects to be changed by what we hear. I think the next part of how we listen is shown in the next part of this passage we read, because this is something that would have stood out. Jesus is talking to a group and he's surrounded by a lot of people, and so many people that his mother and his brothers, and I believe it's the gospel of Matthew that says this, also his sisters, one of the gospels says his sisters are involved, but his mother and his brothers come and they want to speak to Jesus, and we don't know why they want to speak to Jesus. We know that at one point they're worried that he may be a little crazy. We also know that they are following him. So I don't know if they were coming to speak to him to pull him aside and try and get him out of there and say, no, you got to stop. Or if they were just coming because they need to talk about something else. But Jesus makes this statement that would have probably sent a moment of shock through the crowd. Somebody comes to him and says, your mother and brothers are outside and they would like to talk to you. And Jesus basically says, no. Right now this is more important. Think for just a second. Think if you were at a board meeting, and let's pick Google. Anybody remember the CEO of Google? I cannot remember his name right now. Okay, so we're gonna say Connor is the CEO. No, you wouldn't be. Mark is the CEO of Google because he could do it. Okay, so Mark is the CEO of Google, and a board meeting is going on. If you don't know anything about corporations, board meetings are a big, big deal. Okay. He is leading this, and he's just going crazy. He's sick like he is right now, but just doing this remarkable job. And I mean, people are just sitting there on every word he's saying, and suddenly his phone goes off. And he looks down at his phone, and he goes, I've got to take this. And he steps out of the board meeting. Now, one, if you know board meetings, there's going to be shock and awe at that moment. But if he then walks back in the boardroom and says, my daughter just made varsity and I'm leaving this meeting right now to go celebrate with her. That doesn't happen. Okay, we celebrate people who put other things in front of family quite often. But the reality is we don't quite often celebrate when people put family first. Because in our society, the reality is, as much as we talk about family, family's usually put second. It shouldn't be. When's the last time you heard about a football player saying, hey, if it's a choice between my pregnant wife and the playoffs, I'm choosing my pregnant wife. I love Brett Favre, but we celebrate him because on the day after his father died, he played a playoff game. I'm not saying that's wrong for him, okay? It may not be. It may have been the best way to honor his father. I don't know. But very rarely do we hear, actually, I can give you one example. Ben Roethlisberger, about 4 years ago, his wife was pregnant, and he said, if she gives birth during the playoffs, I'm going to be there with her. And he got chewed out. You want a good example? There's a European basketball team that was just in the playoffs, and the guy's name's Lima, and he skipped. He was the star player of the game, and he skipped the playoff game to go be with his wife during labor. And his coach said, I skipped the birth of my children to be here. He should have skipped the birth of his. See, the happenstance I just told you on that, if Mark had done something like that, the boardroom would have gone, what's going on here? This is your job. You do this. At Jesus' time period, everyone would have expected him to choose his family. Everyone would have expected him to choose. There would have been this moment of, not because he chose preaching, but because literally he said, those who hear and do the word of God, they are my family. In other words, they have that priority. He had to make a choice between what his society, what his culture considered the most important thing and what he knew to be the most important thing, the kingdom. And he didn't hesitate. We need to listen as people who say, Jesus is my first priority, and we live that out. When we say Jesus is Lord, that's what we're saying. We're saying everything I have, everything I ever will have is His. He gets to determine what's done with that. So we need to live that out. When you say yes to Him, it means saying no to a lot of things that are really good. It doesn't mean you're supposed to hate your family. It does mean you're supposed to live as though you hate your family compared to Him. Jesus says that, okay? If you love your father or your mother, your wife or your sons more than me, you're not worthy of my kingdom. And then in another gospel, he says, if you don't hate, he's literally saying, compared to me, they need to be as nothing. And that doesn't mean that our families will be neglected. If anything, when things are put in their proper place, suddenly we treat them better. We need to listen as people who say, my first priority, above anything else, is always Jesus. Because the beauty of that is, when Jesus and something else seem to be in conflict, we won't have to figure out that conflict, we just get rid of this. But what happens so often is if Jesus and our social setting get in conflict, we figure out a way to try and mesh them together. If Jesus and our politics get in the way of each other, we try to figure out how to mesh them together and make them work. If Jesus and our finances get in a problem, we try to figure out a way to mesh them together. We're constantly trying to go, how can I arrange Jesus where he fits in with these things and I don't have to change anything? But when something is your priority, and I hate it when we say, what are your top priorities? You should never have priorities. You have a priority. You have other things that are valuable, but you have a priority. This is what I do first. It is prior to all other things. When you have a priority, everything else falls in line underneath it. We listen as people who say, Jesus is the first decision always. It comes back to being changed also, because it means sometimes we may have to get rid of things that are good. They're not bad. They just keep me from following Jesus. Tony Campolo is one of my heroes. There's a lot of things I don't agree with him on, but I still love so much he says. And he tells this story of one of his students who went to Haiti with him. And Campolo does a lot of just amazing work in Haiti. You should read some of the stories on it. It's fascinating. But he had this undergraduate student who went with him to Haiti, and they did medical clinics. And the student said, I know what I'm going to do with my life now. I'm going to go to med school, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to be a doctor here. And Campolo's like, I think that's wonderful. If that's what God's told you to do, I think that's wonderful. 4 years, the student, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. He goes to med school. Instead of going to a med school that would have been cheaper, he goes to the most expensive med school he can go to. So now he suddenly has a lot of debt. Well, with the debt, I need to pay that off now. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pay off the debt, and then I'm going to go to Haiti, because I'll never make enough money working in Haiti to be able to pay off this debt. So I'm going to do that. And he tells Dr. Campolo that, and Dr. Campolo goes, you do whatever Jesus tells you to do. Because Campolo is not the Holy Spirit to him. So the guy goes to work for a little while, and he's working to pay off the debt, and he gets married, and he has kids, and suddenly he's paying the minimum on the debt rather than as much as he possibly can. And after a while, he figures out that what he's going to do instead is he's going to go to Haiti once a year for a week, and do medical clinics. All right, there's nothing wrong with going once a year. Nothing wrong. Unless you're convinced Jesus told you to go. For some of us, going once a year would be this huge step of faith. It would be a step of, Jesus, I believe you're going to do this. But if Jesus tells you to go and stay and you go for once a week, that's called sin. So often we listen not as though Jesus is the number one thing. We listen as though he's one of many things. And we try to figure out how to mesh him in there. Consider carefully how you listen. Here's the scripture that I was going to hit on that. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus loved his mother. We know that. He loved his brothers. We know that. He loved his sisters. We know that. On the cross, he is literally thinking of how to take care of my mom. One of the last words of Christ is, he looks at John, who will be the apostle, and says, look at your mother. Mother, consider your son. Our Lord, while dying for our sins on the cross, while suffering a torture you and I cannot imagine, is thinking of taking care of his mom. He loved his mother. But if it came down to following the will of the Father or taking care of his mom, he chose the will of the Father. Consider carefully how you listen. Do we listen as people who expect to be changed? Do we listen as people who say, Jesus is my number one? So I'm going to end and say what I believe we can do with this. But does anybody else have something to add before I do that?
Yeah, is this the same set of scripture where they talk about hiding it under a bushel?
Yes. Bushel is the King James version of this. Actually, this is used in Matthew and in Mark also. I believe it's Matthew that's the bushel.
It's like a basket.
It's a basket. It probably here means more like a jar. But yes. Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever actually read it. I just, that's stuck in my head.
Yes. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Connor.
I've read stories about early Christians who, when they went to martyrdom, would take their kids with them. Because they would rather have their kids die than be raised in pagan culture.
Yeah.
What I think about that.
One of my favorite stories is Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr is... We call him Justin Martyr. He wanted to be a martyr because his dad was a martyr. If you don't know what the word martyr means, it just means witness. The early church, the ultimate way of bearing faith that Jesus was your Lord was by the sacrifice of your life. Interesting, in my opinion. The saints of the first few centuries are those who give up everything and lose their lives. And then the saints of the latter centuries are those who are really spiritual. I think it's an interesting change. We go from giving it all up to being spiritual, because you can be spiritual and not give it all up. But that's a side note. Justin Martyr, they go around and they're looking for Christians, and he's taking a bath at the time. And
is this a fictional story?
No, this is church history. It's probably true because Martyr was late enough to where we're fairly sure at this point. His mom doesn't want him to die because her husband's already died. Probably some self-interest there because he needs to support her. Also, he's her son. So she goes and hides his clothes. And he doesn't run out into to the street to declare his faith because he thinks it's inappropriate for a witness of the gospel to die in the nude. So therefore, he's not martyred at that time. But later on, he's martyred. And the guy who turns him in as a Christian, the way Justin Martyr treats him is so loving and so kind. Because literally, this man would be his enemy. I mean, one of the things that we do so often in modern Christianity is when Jesus says, love your enemy as you love yourself, Jesus implies there we're going to have enemies. And so often we get so spiritual, we're like, no, we don't really have enemies, but we have enemies. We have people that for some reason or another we don't like. And this man was Justin's enemy. He turns him in to die, and Justin treats him with such love that the man professes faith in the Messiah of Justin there and is killed with Justin. In my opinion, that is someone who's living out a gospel where they have been changed because they have one priority. If Jesus says, love my enemy as myself, this man has just turned me over to die, I will love him. Anybody else? All right, then I want to end with this. If you've never read the story of Samuel, there we go. You should read the story of Samuel. It's this wonderful story where he is serving the high priest and he sleeps outside and God speaks. And each time God speaks, Samuel thinks it is the high priest who is calling for him. And after about the third time, the high priest finally goes, God is speaking to you. Next time you hear the voice, say simply this: speak, Lord, your servant's listening. It's this wonderful statement. It's a statement of trust of God is going to speak. It's a statement of trust of I'm going to listen to you. Because if you read the Bible, what you're going to find is a lot of times Jesus says things we probably don't want to hear. Love the person who hurts you. Give to the one in need, even if you're in need. Go the extra mile. My encouragement this week is that all of us pray. And we pray, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. That we could be people who listen with genuine interest. Listen longing to hear our Lord's word. Listen expecting to be changed. And listening hoping to do what our Lord tells us to do. Rather than like the couple that I saw at the coffee shop, where one person just went on and on and on, And the other person went, huh, really? You don't say. That we would listen to Jesus as though he's saying the most important words there are, because he is saying the most important words there are. And we would follow him rather than listening like I did to my grandmother. The great news is for all of us who have gone, huh, we have a forgiving God who, when we neglect to listen to him, still will forgive us. And then he talks to us again. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, help us to listen to you, to hear your words and respond. Help us not to fear what you might say, but to know that when you give us a challenge, you'll give us the strength to do it. To know that when you convict us of sin, you'll give us the ability to be able to say no. Father, help us to listen to you as people who trust you. I pray this because you are our Lord. You are the King. Amen. Ladies and gents, let's stand up and sing, okay?